Thursday Night Football, Vikings, Eagles. It's week two. It's the defending NFC champions already without their secondary and versus Justin Jefferson. What we might have in store for us tonight and Acuna in the face of Philadelphia. This Atlanta team is a machine. Let's go around the horn. It's going to take a wrecking ball to keep them out of the World Series.
Acuna Matata. What a wonderful name.
Start with tonight's football game. Vikings at Eagles. Philly could be without three defensive starters from last week. And also featured rusher Kenneth Gainwell. It's a shocking amount of attrition for week two. And they had that sluggish second half while beating New England. On Minnesota's side, they aired it out in week one. Justin Jefferson had a huge first half, but then nothing really in the second. And Minnesota didn't have the weight up enough to stop Baker Mayfield. They lost to Tampa. Tim, that's how they go in. Expectations for tonight and the number one thing that will decide this game. Around the horn to you.
I think the game being played in Philadelphia will have a lot to do with it, Tony. I think we'll see a lot different Eagles team. This reminds me of last year when the Eagles started with a pretty sloppy win in Detroit, 38-35, I believe, where the defense didn't look like it had much. And then they got home, and the way they get off the line of scrimmage at home and what that does to the visiting offensive line is a completely different animal. And I think Kirk Cousins would be under siege anyway. They're going to be missing one, maybe two offensive linemen. To me, that makes up for a lot of the Eagles' deficiencies. But I still don't know exactly who this Eagles team was last week that could not run the ball at all with any consistency. And they were number one in the league running it last year. So I don't think they're going to get all the way back to last year's level, but close enough to win comfortably.
Is Rio Gutierrez?
Yeah, it's just really hard to gauge. It's not just week one, but it's week one against Bill Belichick and the Patriots. So you've got him, you know, preparing for you the entire preseason, essentially. So my concerns are more on the Minnesota side, sort of watching that game against Tampa Bay. Yes, the first half, Justin Jefferson targeted a bunch. And then in the second half, it wasn't just that he wasn't targeted after Kirk Cousins had that late second quarter interception. It was also the Vikings defense that couldn't get off the field. These long drives by Baker Mayfield, who said he supposedly knew the defensive calls at that point in the second half. And so that Minnesota Vikings defense is supposed to get better against the Eagles, who are trying to ramp up after last week. I don't think so. And Tim mentioned with the maybe two offensive linemen missing, including the left tackle and Darisaw, that's not great for Kirk Cousins, who's not the most mobile quarterback ever. So given his history in prime time, it just has the makings of just a bad game for the Vikings.
Clinton Yates.
Yeah, there may be question marks, but last week one team won playing tonight, and last week the other team did not. So my question marks remain with the Vikings and what that offensive line can do to keep Cousins upright. Because in general, that is not a dude who inspires a lot of confidence in people in primetime games. I'm sorry. The guy's in like his 10th year in the league, and he's still talking about how it's on me to put together the basics of getting 75 plays together to win a football game. It doesn't feel like the Vikings have as much confidence in themselves as they should. Jefferson didn't have a great game last year, but I do think that defensive line of the Eagles is going to be what the difference is and dominate the Vikings team.
And Woody Page.
It comes down to two quarterbacks. Hurts last week didn't run the football. He only ended up picking about 20, 25 yards up. And he didn't throw the ball down the field. They had no pass that was beyond 20 yards. So he's got to actually take over that running game a bit more, since Gainwell is going to be out of the game probably, and he's going to have to throw the ball down the field against this Vikings team. On the other side, in terms of Cousin, last week he was second in the league with 73% of his plays being pass plays. You can't beat the Philadelphia Eagles on the road if you're going to throw 73% of the time. And in regard to Jefferson, last year he had problems against Slay. I think that happens again. I think because of the Philadelphia Eagles having secondary problems on injuries, that they're going to say to Slay, just pick him up on every play. Because last year he defended him on six, seven plays. He ended up not giving up a reception and intercepting.
All right, so you answered the all questions there, Woody Page. The secondary issues, if they are in fact issues. Philadelphia elected to go with a new secondary in a lot of ways from last year, and now they have the injuries. But you think you got Slay, you got enough to get past Justin Jefferson. Make a pick for the game, Tim Kalishaw.
Because of their pass rush, Eagles 27-10.
Israel Gutierrez.
I've got the Eagles by double figures.
Clinton Yates.
Eagles at home, better team, just like last year. Beat them down.
Woody Page.
Eagles close.
We'll move on. Atlanta clinching the NL East and enjoying it in Philly's face. 96 wins, 16 games left. Could they get to 106, 108? Home field throughout seems certain. The lineup will set the home run record. Spencer Schrider dealt again last night. He's going to lead the league in strikeouts. Olsen leads the league in home runs and RBIs. Acuna leads the league in stolen bases. Is a possible MVP. National panel, I think you all will agree this Atlanta team may be the favorites, are the favorites for the World Series. Forget the favorites for a second. Is this Atlanta team the best Atlanta team we've ever seen? Around the horn, Clinton Yates.
You know my favorite metric in this game, and there is one way that they can be. They've scored 109 first-inning runs in this season. If they get to 127, that'll be the club record that they set in 1999 when they went back to the World Series. That's what this team does. They get up on you early and often, and I think that's what makes them so hard to beat. It's not just all the way down to the top of the lineup. It's that you get out there, inning two, you're down five runs, great. Now you got to deal with one of their dominant pitchers who's simply going to dice you up. This team is about as good as I've seen in the last decade in Major League Baseball.
Okay, as good as you've seen a team in the last decade. Let's go to that question I asked, though. Don't dodge it. The Atlanta franchise, you know about the 20 straight division crowns in the 90s and now six straight here. You know about the lack of World Series wins they had in that decade, though, and then the most recent World Series, Clinton. Is this the best team, though?
I think this is the best team, and the reason is if you can get rid of a guy like Freddie Freeman and bring in a dude who is just as good as him but about a decade younger and he can still play as well as he does, well, then, you know, you're pretty smart. Al Santopoulos has done a great job.
Woody Page.
When I was covering the World Series in the 90s and watching that team with that pitching staff rotation that they had, I thought that was the best team that I'd seen in baseball for years and years, and they couldn't pull off winning back-to-back World Series or even a second World Series. And I've watched this team in a three-game series recently, and I went, wow, this is better than that 90s team. But I have to go back, and I'm sorry, I have to go back to 58 when they had Warren Spahn, Lou Burdette, Eddie Matthews, Hank Aaron, and they beat the Yankees 4-3 in the World
Listen
Series.
To Woody Cook.
That's the best Braves team of all time. This one's second.
History lesson from Professor Page. Tim Kalishaw.
You know, I'm going to go with this is the best Atlanta team. I'll let Woody stick with Lou Burdette and the fellas from Milwaukee. But I'm going to say this, that, you know, they have.
But it was.
The teams we remember were the Glavine, Smoltz, Maddox teams, and they rolled out a great Hall of Fame starter night after night. They didn't always have, you know, Terry Pendleton might have been their best offensive player one year. This team is so loaded. They'll have 435 home run hitters as soon as Ozuna hits another one. They've got the starting pitching, the strikeout leader, the bullpen. That doesn't mean, you know, that much because last year the Braves, Dodgers, and Mets were the best teams in the National League, and the Padres and Phillies played in the NLCS.
Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, I've got to go back to my youth and sort of revisit those names that Kalishaw mentioned with Glavine, Maddox, and Smoltz. And you go into those games, you would go into those games or a series if you had them all lined up as starters and thinking, man, this is going to be long and drawn out and we're going to have to maybe win a 1-0 game. And this team is different. It intimidates you from the beginning, like Clinton said, with those first inning runs. And the difference, the reason I put this team above is those fourth and fifth games, because it's every game. This lineup is just a nightmare for opposing pitchers. And just look at the team numbers. They lead MLB in everything. Homers, on base, slugging, OPS, every single statistic. And you can't really remember saying that about those Braves teams, especially not on the offensive side. Yes, on the pitching side and the starting side, they were great, but you can't really say they absolutely dominated a side of the ball for an entire season the way this team has. I think this is the best Braves team ever.
A side of the ball. Interesting. Not an expression I hear often if her side of the diamond.
I knew
maybe.
You were going to hang up.
Clint Yates, please.
Michael Harris II was the rookie of the year last year. One of the most dynamic arms and one of the most ranges in center field. He bats ninth on this team. It's unbelievable.
The 282 home runs they have right now leads the league by such a margin that if Matt Olson was just taken out of the lineup completely, and hello, he leads the league in home runs, they would still lead the league in home runs. Kalishaw, I'll give you the last word.
Well, I'm just thinking about the team that won 2 years ago, won the World Series, upset the Astros if it was an upset, and Ronald Acuna wasn't even playing that season. So, you know, you add him, you add just that element among the other players they've developed since then. This is a much better team than the one that won it 2 years ago.
Last night in Philadelphia, you know, that's a rivalry, and Philly knocked out Atlanta last year. And you saw how Acuna went through that and worked through that. I saw this on the Big Diamond Vision in Philadelphia. Couldn't believe it. Philly's wow. congratulating Atlanta for their division championship. That's some brotherly love. We'll see how it plays out in the postseason. Buy or sell next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Oh, it's always fun when we have to come back to the stage for a correction here. Woody Page, you had the 1958 Milwaukee team, the Atlanta franchise, being their greatest of all. That was a team that lost the World Series. It was the 57 team that won the World Series against the Yankees in seven.
Same lineup,
but I think you would say the team that won the World Series had a better year. I think you would agree on that. We'll move on. Just a rounding error, Woody. It's fine. Buy or sell one.
I told them I took my hat off and I took my glasses off. And I said, when I talk to grown-ups, I take my hat and my glasses off. That's what my mother taught
me. Oh, boy. And some applause for the line. Colorado State coach Jay Norvell right in the face of Deion Sanders before this weekend's Colorado State-Colorado game. Woody Page, you will be there. This is your account as far as pregame material goes. Fair or foul from Norvell to call out Deion? Wise or unwise?
It was not very smart, honestly. He should know better, having been in Reno with the University of Nevada. He knows about odds, and their odds are just miserable against CU. But last week, Matt Rhule put his team on the CU logo at midfield, and guess what happened to them? You don't want to really shake that cage and shake up the quarterback and his father.
Tim Kalischuk.
This was definitely foul. You know, I knew big things were coming to Colorado as a freshman there in 1973. I didn't know it would take 50 years. I thought Billy Waddy would be more involved in the turnaround. But now that they've got this team, yes. Are the Buffs going to blow them out? Yes.
So you believe this little pregame chatter just increases the amount that Colorado will be. Colorado State. All right. Israel, Colorado State comes in as an underdog up against Deion. Is it all right for Jay Norvell to mix it up a little bit?
Oh, I think it's fair. I mean, when somebody comes at you with heat or with some extra sauce like Deion does, what are you going to do? Just cower and back up? No, you just give him something back. Whether or not, it's not like you can pick on his team. His team's been performing well, so just go ahead and go at Deion. Now, is it wise? No, it's terribly unwise, and you're probably going to lose by 10 more points than you would have normally. So, but yeah, if you're a coach and you just got to, you know, dig your feet in and stand up for your team, yeah, go ahead.
Lynn Yates, how'd you see it?
To be clear, he said a lot of kind things about Prime earlier in that conversation that we obviously didn't get to. But this was not the play call. This was the execution. You went with a bad diss and you opened yourself up to Deion possibly dissing your mother. You don't do that when you're dealing with one of the best trash talkers of all time. Not smart, Playboy.
Buy or sell two baseball news of the day. Boston Red Sox firing Chaim Bloom, the team's chief baseball officer. He was brought in 4 years ago after the team won a World Series, after Dave Dombrowski was let go, to undo some of the big contracts and start a rebuild. You'll know this is when they traded Mookie Betts. First step. That was from ownership, most reports say, but that has not gone well. In his time in charge, the Sox were 500, made the playoffs once. Clinton, does this make sense for Boston?
Not to me, and it brought back the question that for me, why did you fire Dombrowski? What exactly happened there? Because he went to the Phillies, and they look pretty good, and Boston is becoming a team where they think their GM hire has to be the sexiest hire of all time. That hasn't worked out so well. Just pick a guy, stick with it. Maybe that means it's not the GM's fault, and probably the guy upstairs.
Woody Page.
The Rose being off the Bloom is really a mistake. He came in and did exactly what they wanted him to do, which was to reduce the payroll from number one in the league, but it's down like near the middle of the pack now. And they have been in the search for the playoff spot most of the year. I don't think you get rid of him at all. It's the guy down at the Yankees that they should be talking about.
Tim Kalishaw.
I think the Yankees are a different story with what Cashman has been able to endure. I agree on that. But there's enough there for to make this move on Bloom. Now, he did pay for the contracts Dombrowski gave to David Price, to Kimbrell, to Nathan Eovaldi. That had to bring the payroll down. That's what cost him Mookie Betts. It's not fair to remember Bloom for that, though.
Israel Gutierrez.
I mean, there is a place in sports for a guy like this. He's essentially the wolf from Pulp Fiction. Just come in and clean up the mess. And I think where the Red Sox were looking at this is, okay, look for signs that he can win or can make moves where you're not spending through the roof. And, you know, in these couple of years where you make that one playoff appearance but you're in last place most of the time, probably not a good enough sign to say, hey, when we are spending big, you are going to make the proper decision, so we're going to go ahead and move on.
Just because you are a character doesn't mean you have characters, Rick Gutierrez, but that's what I love you for. We'll move on. Max Scherzer out of the regular season and out for maybe the playoffs now for the Texas Baseball Club. News came out as a gut shot yesterday. Team responded in a big game, beating Toronto 10-0 to hold on to their wild card spot. These last 17 games are going to be great, huh? The two AL wild card spots up for grabs between these two teams in Seattle and the AL West race. Also up in the air, but Texas with no Scherzer, who was 4-2, sub 1 whip for them since they traded for him. Tim Kalishaw, this is your account. What is this for Max? What does this mean for Texas now? Looking ahead.
It's a heavy loss. I mean, he's actually pitched better for the Rangers than Verlander has for the Astros. And it seemed like he would make up for the DeGrom situation. Now they're both out. And you do wonder about Scherzer next year. What is the inning total you want him to get to in the regular season if you want him to pitch in the in the playoffs? So it's, even though this team has a 5-game winning streak, longest in baseball, let's not forget, it's a tough situation.
Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, it did feel like after that matchup with Verlander that this was going to be a disaster for Scherzer and Texas, but turned out pretty decent, as you mentioned those numbers there. I wouldn't pitch him in the playoffs. I wouldn't bring him back. And if you're Scherzer, you're 39 years old, you're looking at it and saying, all right, I've probably got another year or two. Make sure you make that offseason push and get ready, as Tim said, and sort of manage your season next year for the postseason potentially. I don't think you're seeing the end of Max Scherzer here, and I don't think it's a disastrous necessarily trade. It's just one of those situations where this postseason probably going to do it.
When the deal was made, I sat on this very show and I said, you can't depend on Max Scherzer to make it all the way through the season. And unfortunately, that's what ended up happening. I also said that I thought the Rangers would be fine because I thought this was a good team before they picked him up. Whatever they were going to be, they'll still be, as Tim noted, with their 5-game win streak. But Scherzer was never going to be a difference maker and isn't.
Mm-hmm. So you don't question their playoff status right here with this losing a Hall of Fame pitcher they just acquired from the trade line. Woody Page, how about you?
A Hall of Fame pitcher who often doesn't throw in the World Series.
I don't know that he's through for the year. After doing my research, he had 17 games that he started that he pitched at least 6 or 7 innings. So I don't think his career is over, Israel. I think he does have something left in the tank, and he's had a good year up until now, and I think he'll might try to come back if they go far in the playoffs.
Tim, so I'm going to put it all on tonight's game. If they sweep Toronto, they're going to be a wild card. If
putting it all on back, one game. It's a must-win game.
One game. It's one game.
It's great it's that they're tonight. Playing each other, and the way the schedule works out in the AL West, everybody's playing each other, too. They've won five straight, the longest winning streak in baseball, as Tim Kalisha said, which came after a losing streak after Tim Kalisha went in the paper and said they were a playoff team. We got to get out of here. Tim, you're still going to survive, but that'll be it for Clayton and Israel. Go down. Woody, Tim, next.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We talked about teams at the top of the wild card earlier. We talked about teams in the AL East earlier. Now let's talk about the top of the AL East and wild card. Rays and Orioles begin a four-game series. Baltimore leading the division by two games. Tampa topped the wild card. This four-game series is going to go a long way to know the playoff matchups. Tim Kalisha, what will we be talking about come Monday?
The Orioles still have those great hitters, and they're bringing up my man, Heston Kjerstad from Arkansas. But Tampa Bay, 20-9 the last month. They're going to win three out of four. The Rays are going to win the division.
Oh,
Baltimore's going to be the top.
You've got it so wrong. If you look at the pitching matches over this series, you'll see that Baltimore has the better pitching staff, particularly at home. And you can't wait for that second game in the series when it's Zach against Jack. That's a fact, Jack and Tim.
I can't wait.
I'm just blown away at Tim breaking down the prospects that are playing in this series. We'll move on. Showdown right. Two.
Man, I'm very excited, man. We Bulldogs and we're ready to bite. Arr, arr, arr. You see, I'm excited, man. I'm ready to go.
Alabama A&M coach Connell Maynard. Woody, once again, as far as pregame material goes, wise or unwise here to bark like a dog?
This is so incredibly wise. Who let the dog out? Well, we know about his bark, but what kind of bite is he going to have Saturday?
All right, thank you, Dr. Seuss. All right,
this was okay, but this was not Baylor's Grant Taff telling the joke about how you catch all the fish and then spitting a worm out and saying, you got to keep the worms warm. That's how you fire up a team, as he did when Baylor beat Texas.
Oh, the places you won't go, Woody Page. Tim Kalisha, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Oh, thank you, Anthony. I've probably made fun of Brooklyn and its hipster vibe a few times on this show. Let me just say this. I just spent the greatest weekend in Brooklyn. The joy of taking my daughter Rachel down the aisle to marry her soulmate, Carlos Kramer. My son Ben officiating the wedding with his partner Michael, sitting with my wife Shannon and I. Tony Reale may have been involved somewhere in this weekend as well as Pablo, but it was as good a time as could possibly be had. Thank you to the White Hotel and the food at Colonia Verde and all the people in Brooklyn, hipsters though they may be. It was tremendous.
Congratulations, of course, to Rachel and Carlos and to Mr. Tim Kalisha, father of the bride. And to Willis Kalisha, grandfather of the bride. We love you, Willis.
Why not?